there. My name is Lexi. Book me for singing, songwriting, engineering, vocal production, and lessons through social media at LexiATL, email at LexiSolo@gmail.com, phone at 404-692-1299, or through LexiATL.com. Thank you all so much for joining me today to review the book Unbreak My Heart, A Memoir by Toni Braxton. It's actually been a pretty long time since I have done a book review. I'm actually behind. I have to review another book called Thirst, which is about a water charity that provides wells all over the world for, I guess, underprivileged areas. But I've just been getting back in the swing of things and getting back into doing the things that I like to do. And one of the things that I did is, y'all know I like to read, which is why I have the whole Lexi Quotes page. You can follow that at Lexi Quotes or follow my main page at Lexi ATL. But I like to read, and I decided to go exploring my local library the other day, and I got a library card for free and access to all of the books inside. One of the first few books that I saw is Toni Braxton's Unbreak My Heart. This is a memoir. Just want to give you some basic information about the book to start. This book was published in 2014, and there are 260 pages. This was an extremely easy read for me, and it really did not take me a very long time to get through at all, mainly because I started incorporating reading into my cardio. So I watch fitness videos to try to get new tips or new education on like what's going on with the fitness world. And I was looking for a way to incorporate cardio into my routine. And I don't remember his last name, but the influencer's name is Jeremy. He's a fitness guy. And I watched his video on YouTube where he talked about how he'll do his long cardio days. Like, I'll spend an hour on the treadmill. He'll do his long cardio days with his computer or with a book. And so I started doing that with this, and it took me like 2 weeks, because I do my cardio on Tuesday and Thursday. It took me 2 weeks to finish this book. Yeah, so that's like, what, 4 hours? So I finished this very quickly. Matter of fact, you can check out the post where I announced that at the Lexi Quotes Instagram page. But yeah, I finished this book very quickly, super easy to read, and it was nice to just let my body do what it does while I immerse myself into the text of the book. And so my overall thoughts on this book by Toni Braxton, Unbreak My Heart, A Memoir, is I loved it. I am in the music industry as well, and I am an artist. And the reason why I like to get books like this is because I want to be able to understand what other artists are going through, especially other women in the industry, because I feel like I go through certain things that I can't talk about with other people, because most of my peers, most of my colleagues are men. And so it's things that they just can't relate to, right? So I get books like this, and I've also read Etta James. I've also read a book about Beyonce. And the next book that I'm going to be reading is actually Baby Girl, better known as Aaliyah. I'm very excited about that. Like, wow, super lighting on there. I wonder if this is going to help. It didn't really help at all, did it? Well, get back to the consistency. Anyway, this is the next book that I'm going to be reading. I was sifting through the shelves at my library in the same section that I found Toni Braxton, and I found Aaliyah, which, whew, y'all know, if you know anything about me, you know I love Aaliyah. So that's going to be that. But yeah, so I'm always looking to find out, you know, some of the situations that I'm going through, did any of these artists go through it as well? And are they going to reveal anything to me that would help me in my journey? And so these books are a more fun way to get to know the industry in ways that people will not make obvious, in ways that people don't openly talk about. And there were definitely some things that Toni Braxton mentioned in this book that really gave me some clarity on how to go about handling certain things, how to go about handling certain situations. So I've picked out a few quotes from the book that really spoke to me. On page 77, This is about knowing your audience. She talks about how she did like a showcase or a talent show at the Apollo's. It was a competition at Apollo Theater's Amateur Night in Harlem. I learned a big lesson that night. You've got to know your audience. In the finals, I sang At This Moment. I'd fallen in love with the song by Billy Vera and the Beaters when it was played during a love scene with Michael J. Fox and Tracy Pollan on Family Ties. The song might have sounded like a hit on a sitcom episode, but it flopped with a crowd of Black folks. I should have chosen an R&B number. The second lesson I learned was this one. Winning is sometimes less about being talented and more about bringing along enough people who can cheer loudly when your name is called. You guessed it, I lost. And so this stuck out to me because these are some of the things that I'm always telling the artists that I work with. You know, don't take these showcases and these little talent shows that you get in open mics that you get invited to. Don't take these things personally if you don't win. It's not really a competition. It's more so about how many people are you bringing? How loud can you get a crowd to cheer for you? Of course, if you get people to cheer outside of your friends and family or whoever came with you to support, that's great as well. But don't get too bent out of shape with these talent shows and these competitions. A lot of times it's just how many people you brought and how loud they were able to be to make it seem like you got the most love in the building compared to the other acts, okay? And then the other portion that she said of that is to know your audience. A lot of people think that standing out is a great thing, and yes, it is. If you are truly talented, you can kind of get away with it. But you also need to know who you are playing to, because that's going to play a role in how are people going to see you as talented? How are people going to see you as unique? How are people going to relate to you? And if you're not relatable to your audience and you don't show that relatability through your performance or through your song choice, then that's going to hurt you when you do these competitions as well. So I thought that was something nice that stood out from the book. Another one that I want to point out is on page 92. Let me see. Even when you know how to sing, you have to be trained. There's a big difference between singing a song in church and delivering a professional performance. That's why Ernesto and his colleagues spent so much time refining our raw talent. Renee Diggs, a singer in Star Point, taught me how to control my vibrato. She and Ernesto also showed me how to infuse my songs with emotion. The idea is to engage your audience, Ernesto explained. You always want to make them want more. I learned how to speed up or slow down at various points in a song and how to go tender or aggressive. I'll always be grateful that Ernesto taught me far more than just how to sing. He taught me how to create a musical story full of peaks and valleys that moves every person in the audience. So this is a good piggyback off of the first thing that we said, which is music is a lot more than just knowing how to sing. It's knowing how to go faster, how to go slower, how to enunciate, when to slur your words. It's about knowing when to be aggressive and when to be tender. I need to start describing it like that to my clients as well. Aggressive versus tender. I usually just tell them soft, but tender, I like that word so much more. I get a lot of, especially like musical theater people or people who are used to doing live stage performances, they're so used to having to project and to be so exaggerated in their performance that when they come to record in a studio setting, they actually end up trying to like run through the entire song, flaws and all, and they don't hear anything wrong with it. But you have to realize that you're in a different environment and you don't have to record that way. The live stage experience is a lot different from the studio experience. On the live stage, that's great when you perform. You got one shot, you got one moment to really stick out to the crowd. But when you are in the studio, you have the opportunity to perfect that performance and make it the best that you possibly can and explore different techniques and, you know, just all those different kinds of things. So that's another lesson that I would want my clients to think about. Another one that I want to point out is, I really related to this part when she was talking about how was it her manager? Or yeah. No. Who told her this? Hold on. He was older. Okay, let me just read it to you. This is on page 123, and it's basically talking about how as a woman, we kind of have to move carefully, and we kind of have to give the illusion of always being available because certain men will show interest and these men have connections. And if we reject that interest too soon or too harshly, then it could really put us in a weird situation or even stop our careers. So in this passage on page 129, she says, when I was 19, I worked as a background singer for a rapper whose Caucasian manager liked me, but the feeling was not mutual. He was older, overweight, and frumpy. Girl, the rapper later told me, if you want to be successful in this business, you're going to have to get with a few guys you don't like. I thought my manager was right. A little flirting couldn't hurt, and it might even improve our business relationship. So I went out a few times with Bryant. On one of those dates, we started making out, and one thing led to another. I'll just say that things went farther than I ever intended, and I regretted it to the 20th power. I called my cousin Jackie and told her the details. You'll get over it, she said. He's a nice guy, but I wanted to end it. That wasn't as easy as it sounds. Even when I went silent, which was my way of letting the whole thing fade away naturally, Bryant kept calling and calling and calling. Let's just say I ended up continuing to see Bryant because I didn't feel like I could break it off without hurting my career, given his connections. In retrospect, I should have followed my heart and walked away. And like I said, this piece really sticks out to me and I relate to it because I have been in a few situations, and this is something that like plagues my mind often. I think to myself, if I would have just been able to pretend that I liked somebody, if I would have just been able to pretend that I wanted to be in the company of certain people, maybe I would have so many more connections. Maybe I would be invited into so many more spaces. Maybe I would be so much further in my career if I could essentially sleep with guys who can do something for me versus just sleeping with guys that I like, because in the industry, it's like, how far has that gotten me? And like I said, you know, you want to make sure that you are appearing available as a woman, and it makes it hard for dating, especially because I'll be in situations where I know I'm going to get hit on and I can handle it, but a guy that I might be dating might not like that. And even if we are in the same industry, he might still feel like, Lexi, you shouldn't have to do that to make a name for yourself in the industry. Whether I sleep with somebody or not, right? And I'm not sleeping with anybody. That's probably why I haven't made it this far. But I'm not sleeping with anybody. But it's like, also, if I don't play the game, if I don't play a certain role, then I'm not going to be invited to certain spaces. I'm not going to be given certain opportunities. And people will just exclude me from things. And so it's a very real concern that I have as a woman. If you are a female creative out there, let me know in the comment section or let me know in the reviews if you can relate to feeling like you kind of have to go along to get along, because otherwise, if you don't, it might end up hurting your career. I've definitely been in a lot of situations like that. And let's just say it's been 10 years on this independent grind. And yeah, I wonder if that has played a role. A few more things that I want to read out to y'all. I'm going to read like four more things. So this is on page 125. And if you want to be a great musician, you first have to be devoted, a devoted student of music. That involves practicing strict discipline every single day. It's not all just about getting up on stage to perform. Most of the real work happens behind the scenes. This is something that I tell my artists and my clients all the time. It's more than just looking the part. You have to be the part. You have to practice the part. You have to hone in on your craft. You have to sharpen your skills. You would be surprised how many people think they can just go in the studio, go in the booth and do whatever. They think they can just come in and freestyle something and they're going to pop off. They're going to go viral. But there's so much that goes into it. You might get a viral hit. That's like a one in a few million chances that that'll happen. But once you hit, you don't have that development behind you to keep you as a consistent force in the industry. So this is something that I always caution my artists about. You gotta be always wanting to learn about the industry. And this is a perfect segue into the next one that I wanna read you. You always want to be learning everything about your craft and everything that surrounds your craft. Because on page 165, this is where Tony says, "Here is the straightforward truth about what happened." This is talking about when she went through, I think this is her second, this is either her first or second bankruptcy. I think it's her first bankruptcy. "Here's the straightforward truth about what happened. I signed a bad contract. I then trusted other people to do what I should have done for myself. Pay attention to every cent. In short, I gave away my power, and I've often been furious with myself for doing that. I allowed others' opinions to matter more than my own, and I've paid a big price for doing so. In the years, I've gone through the same process of forgiving myself that any human being would have to go through. And along the way, I've learned that debt is not a symptom of some kind of moral bankruptcy. It's simply a sign that I should have managed my tour costs better. And while going broke doesn't make me broken, I've still had to confront a hard reality. I took my eye off the ball, period. And bankruptcy was the tool I used to start over." So in addition to continuing to being a great student of music, when you are being a great student of music, you're essentially keeping yourself educated about your craft and about your industry. And like Toni Braxton said here, "I gave away my power." And I see a lot of newer artists being okay with giving away their power because they don't understand a lot about the industry, and they don't understand a lot about contracts, and they don't understand, bless you, they don't understand that they can get caught up in these bad situations. And even learning how to manage their money, whether it is for everyday living or whether it's for coming up with the funds and managing the funds for a project, or like Toni Braxton was going through, bless you, like Toni Braxton was going through, managing funds for a tour that she essentially had to come out of pocket for because the cost of it was something that was like not, it was an oversight. It's something that wasn't planned for or not like quite thought through all the way, right? So I just always caution the artists that I work with, be a consistent student of your craft and a consistent student of your industry. Even what it is that I'm doing, I'm acting as engineer in a lot of these situations, and I'm trying to educate people as I go along. I'm trying to educate them the more that they book sessions with me. And I tell them, you know, of course, like I have clients come to me, right? And they'll say, "Lexi, I want to get a studio in my house. If I do that, how much would you charge me to come record at my house? And how much would you charge me to teach me how to do this and that?" And, I was like, you know, as much as I don't like it, I'll give them the list of equipment that will help them get started and will help them have a good sound at their house. I will come over and do a few sessions with them personally to teach them how to engineer themselves, because the reason why I got into engineering is to help my pockets. Recording, mixing, and mastering is like one of the most expensive things to being an artist outside of doing music videos, photo shoots, and promotion. It's the first real barrier, the first real obstacle that a lot of artists have. They don't even know how to get the song recorded professionally. So yeah, I will help you. Even though it takes money out of my pockets eventually, I would much rather let someone be greater leaving me than how they were when they first came to me, you know? So without rambling too much, I want to read these last two things for you. So this is on page 254. This is from Baby's Face himself. And this is for when you feel like giving up. This is for anyone who has been struggling with determining whether or not you want to keep going with this whole music thing, because I know it is hard. So these last two quotes that I'm going to read for you, I hope that it offers you some sort of peace or some sort of clarity. So, it was Kenny, my brother in the music business, who ultimately convinced me not to hang up my microphone. "You're just going through a hard time," he told me. You're angry about your life. You're angry about some of the choices you made. You've got to work through that, but you can't let it stop you from recording. You can't let it stop you from recording. And that is a word to me, because I've realized that recently I don't turn to music the way I used to get over things or to get or to work through my feelings. And being in the industry, like having worked at this for so long, as I told you, I've been doing this for 10 years now, and it begins to get tiring. It begins to feel like, man, when is it going to break for me? Or have I messed up somewhere along the way because it's taken me so long? So to hear these words from Babyface himself, Kenny Babyface Edmonds, it's comforting to know that, of course, everybody goes through these hard times, but that's no reason to just quit the thing that you love, right? And the last quotable that I want to leave with y'all is on page 259. Let's see. It wasn't that I'd fallen out of balance in my life. I could tell you that I'm now completely centered again. Let me start over. It wasn't that I'd actually fallen out of love with music. It was that I'd fallen out of balance in my life. I could tell you that I'm now completely centered again. That would be a lie. My journey does not come wrapped in a shiny package with a neat little bow placed on top. Life is more messy than that. Circumstances fall apart, then we pull them back together, only to have them come undone another time. I'm starting to realize that we're not supposed to keep everything lined up and in perfect order. Even with our best efforts, we can't accomplish that anyway. Instead, we're meant to find lessons in both the chaos and the cleanup. And that is the last quote that I want to leave y'all on from Unbreak My Heart, a memoir by Toni Braxton. All in all, I love the book. Toni Braxton is one of my musical influences, so I'm really happy to have gotten to know her. And she mentioned a situation when she was signed to Barry Hankerson. I've worked with Barry and Chow. This book confirms some things for me, okay? It confirms some things for me. I'm gonna move on to the next book, which is Baby Girl, better known as Aaliyah. And I wonder what they're gonna talk about, or if this is gonna be just like the Beyoncé book. Because the Beyoncé book wasn't really a lot of personal things from Beyoncé. It was more so following her career. So I'll let y'all know about that. But those are my thoughts. That was a word now. But those are my thoughts on Unbreak My Heart, a memoir by Toni Braxton. Thank you all so much for tuning in to chat about this book with me. If you can get your hands on a copy, then I highly recommend you read it. It's great if you're a creative or if you're just a woman going through a professional industry, a professional journey, then it's great for you as well. You don't have to be a creative to write it, to read it. So I highly recommend it. You can probably find this at a bookstore. I found this at my local public library, so also check that out. It was free, which as a book lover, that's helping my pockets a lot to have a library card. And one of these days I'll make a video about how beneficial it is to have a library card, because I didn't realize that I can get free tickets and passes to like the zoo and the aquarium and museums around the city. So definitely something I'll talk about in a future video, but I want to thank you so much for joining me today. You can find me on my main page at LexiATL. That's at LexiATL. You can find my page that's dedicated to reading and books at LexiQuotes, LexiQuotes. That's LexiQuotes. Thank you so much for joining me today. I do hope that you'll find this book and read it for yourself. Let me know your thoughts about this in the comment section or in the review if you're listening on a podcast. But my name is Lexi. Thank you so much for joining me. Until next time, peace.